what shelter were you staying at?
I was at Miami Edison Senior High School, which is on 62nd, close to I-95, and it's in Little Haiti.
And how did you get that one?
So everyone at WLRN, you know, all the reporters, we have our assignments, and it's just luck of the draw that I got assigned to Miami-Dade, to a shelter in Miami-Dade, because other people were covering the emergency operation centers, and they'd been assigned to Broward. And I picked this shelter pretty much because of its proximity to my house. It's just about 3 miles from where I live.
And who were some of the people who were at this shelter? Who did you meet?
Well, it wound up being even more diverse than I expected. So there were plenty of, like, Haitians and Haitian Americans, I think, here. People who, like, walked over from their houses. But there were also people who were from, like, the airport. They had been waiting for flights out of Miami, and their flights had gotten canceled. They couldn't get out, and so they were bussed over here. There were a fair number of homeless people. There were a few people from Miami Beach who just wound up here kind of randomly. And all ages, I mean, from babies all the way up to pretty elderly people. Like, I would say I talked with a couple of people who were in at least their late 70s, if not 80s or 90s.
You talk about such a diverse group of people. What were some of the challenges and problems when you have that kind of diversity?
A little bit, I feel like, where to begin. I mean, there was sort of the general problem that everyone experienced, which was just not having cots or blankets. And I believe the county said, you know, come prepared with 3 days of supplies and with blankets and things like that. But some people didn't have the means to bring those things. You know, there were some homeless people who didn't have blankets or couldn't stock up on 3 days of water to support themselves. Or like the people from the airport, you know, they had what was in their suitcases. They weren't expecting to be evacuated to a shelter and have to spend 3 days here. So definitely just like the overall lack of supplies or preparedness was one problem. And also there were a bunch of people who came here thinking erroneously that it was a special shelter that was equipped to handle people with medical conditions. So, for example, there was this one family, this 76-year-old mom who has 2 adult children with cerebral palsy, and she wound up taking care of them pretty much by herself, just because there weren't any sort of resources for her to really be helped by. I mean, I think we wound up having a couple EMTs and police here, but no one equipped to really help a woman in that sort of situation. And again, remember, we have no cots and no blankets. So she was on her own with her 2 adult children, you know, helping them go into the bathroom. And she's not especially, you know, sturdy and strong herself. We also had several, I think at least 6 or 7 calls to paramedics to like evaluate people, including one man who this morning, Sunday morning, he attempted suicide, and there weren't really medical personnel here to deal with that, and they wound up calling the paramedics for him. He had taken, I think, a bunch of pills, and they kind of kept him in the principal's office, but because of the hurricane outside, they decided to not transport him anywhere.
Who's running this place, and how many people did they have?
This was a little challenging, because this was one of, so Miami-Dade Mayor, for context, Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez, they started out not planning to open, I think, more than like 20 or so shelters, and the county ended up opening 41. So way more shelters than they were really anticipating opening for this storm. And the people that they got in to run this shelter were pretty much all local, locally involved with the county and with Miami-Dade, the community here. So a lot of the volunteers, like checking people in, were county employees who they're not trained to, well, they get some training, but they're not emergency operations people. They're like an IT guy, for example, who just, you know, he volunteered to do this, or it was his week on the rotation or whatever. So they were staffing the desk. And then the school, Miami Edison Senior High, their principal was here, and he brought in like his custodial staff, his security guards, and his kitchen workers, who are all assigned to the school here. And so they were managing food and, you know, taking care of, like, cleaning up the bathrooms and stuff. And then we had, I think, like 5 or 6 National Guardsmen here, and then a contingent of police officers, some from the county, some from Miami-Dade Public Schools. And then there wound up being a few paramedics here kind of toward the end of things on Sunday.
Because I was going through your Twitter feed, and you had been really, you know, telling the story of all, you know, the challenges at the shelter. One of your tweets, you talked about, where's the backup? Who was calling for backup? What did they need?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people who were at the shelter had been through hurricanes before, either in Miami-Dade or some people who were in Texas for, I forget which hurricane off the top of my head, but anyway, people who had been through hurricanes before. And so they kind of were expecting like FEMA and the Red Cross to show up, bringing cots and blankets and water. And they became increasingly frustrated over the past several, well, especially today, especially Sunday. They were just really frustrated because they had spent, you know, 2 nights, many of them, on the tile floor, on the cold tile, without a blanket or a cot. They were elderly. They were homeless. And, you know, also today, the lunches have, or the meals were getting progressively smaller, I think, as the school ran out of the supplies that it had been using to feed its students. They were serving a school breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And by lunchtime today, that consisted of basically like a slice of pizza and a bottle of water, and we were told to keep the bottle for the water so that we could refill it from the drinking fountain. So people were getting really fed up with, you know, not seeing the expected backup from the federal government, and they in turn were going to the volunteers and, you know, the local police and the guardsmen and asking, you know, where is FEMA, where is the Red Cross, where is the Red Cross? And, you know, the local people, the guardsmen and the police and the volunteers and everyone, they were saying, you know, we're hoping they're going to come. One volunteer told me they were expecting a delivery of supplies that never showed up. And so really everyone, you know, the volunteers and the police and all the people in the shelter all had the same question, which is like, where is the federal backup on this? And we don't know really if it's because of what happened in Houston with Harvey, that maybe resources are stretched really thin. Maybe it's because there were some communication snafus in opening up a shelter at the last moment that became filled to capacity. This was one of the 6 shelters, I think, in Miami-Dade that was ultimately filled to capacity. And then also, you know, the fact that Irma shifted course and headed toward the West Coast, kind of Florida's West Coast, kind of at the last minute, all of those things may have combined to, you know, spread federal resources really thin, resulting in these people not having federal backup as far as like water and cots and blankets. But the case has also been made that since this school is in a lower income part of Miami, you know, maybe these people were left behind. And how, I've been asked, you know, how does this compare to like schools in Hialeah or, you know, shelters in Doral? And that's not something I can really answer on my own. But I can say for sure, for certain, that this was just for the people who had to stay here in these conditions. I so feel for them. I just feel like they were completely left behind.
So at the time of this interview, it's Sunday evening. Who's left? There is a curfew in the city, but who's left in that shelter, and what's going to happen?
So a lot of people, because of the conditions in the shelter, began leaving this afternoon, which is ironically pretty much exactly when Hurricane Irma, the effects were being felt the strongest in Miami-Dade. And so a lot of people just left because they were so fed up with, you know, feeling like they were running out of food and not having a place to sleep. So who's left at this point is basically a fair number of homeless people and a lot of people who don't have the means or the ability to drive themselves somewhere else. So people who were bussed over from the airport are going to be spending another night on the floor here. People who, you know, were brought here by Lyft because of a county grant that the county was given by Lyft to help evacuate people, you know, they're here. I think there are some people who just medically, you know, need help evacuating, like that 76-year-old mom and her 2 adult children with CP that I was telling you about. You know, they're not going to be able to go anywhere without a van or, you know, at least like an Uber or someone to help get them out of here. And so we're all going to be spending the night here.